Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. Welcome to the newest, the greatest, the most spectacular show in entertainment history. Put your hands together for season 3 of B-Movie Mania!
Waka waka!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Okay, welcome everyone to another season of B-Movie Mania. I am your host, crazy Chris Hudson. And if you've been following along so far, you'll know that we lost one member to an unfortunate jetpack accident last season. But the rest of the maniacs are here with me and doing well. I mean, well, okay, not well, because we've all been turned into puppets at very great expense. So, hey, say hello, puppet Mike Hayes.
Waka waka. I'm a puppet.
And, hey, say hello, puppet Jason Holmes.
Hi, Chris, I'm a puppet, too.
I just wanted to pretend that I fired all the maniacs and hired two puppets to replace the three previous maniacs.
That would get old if we just talk like that the whole show.
Aren't we already your puppets, Hudson? You've made us watch this movie.
That's true. And I had never seen this movie somehow.
So for those of you who didn't read the title or the website or wherever you get this,
yeah.
I picked to open up season 3 of B-Movie Mania, Peter Jackson's second film, Meet the Feebles. It is a charming film with significant cultural value. It's a film that should really be seen by everyone that enjoys this show and cult film in general. But unfortunately, that film was pulled from YouTube, so I had to pick Meet the Feebles. And that's what we're talking about.
Oh, no. The movie you originally picked, Neil Young's Human Highway, was god-awful. This is way better. I think I'm the only one who watched it. And fuck you that I had to watch an additional movie. I watched episode negative one for season 3. And maybe I'll just give my own review sometime.
Oh, no.
Maybe fate got it right, though.
The gods above fucking pulled it from YouTube. Because that shit was boring as hell. And it's confusing, because like you said, it's got Devo in it. It's got a lot of shit. But it's boring as hell, and thankfully we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about Meet the Feebles, Waka Waka.
Yeah, you could do a secret lost episode, the negative first episode.
We're ordinary. Something, something, people.
Meet the Feebles! Meet the Feebles! We're not your average!
People, not a single one of them's a people.
No, there was one person, one human in this entire movie. He was also a puppet person.
Well, yeah.
But hey, before we dive into quick takes, Mike, I really hope you've got some Morris Minor trivia for us again, just like the last time I picked a Peter Jackson movie.
Oh, I understand then, Chris, that you're asking me to give a real early on Carfax.
Carfax.
All right. Well, here's a great car fact. The Morris Minor, which was featured in Peter Jackson's first film, Bad Taste, is also prominently featured in this film. In fact, every single car in this movie is a Morris Minor, including the stretch limousine is a modified Morris Minor to be a stretch limousine. So, there you go.
Awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
Quick takes!
My puppet mouth also, just so everyone knows, is the kind of puppet mouth where the bottom stays still, but the top of the head just moves back and forth. And it looks really awkward, but that's what the puppeteer did to me. So it gives you a real headache. My quick take of Meet the Feebles is, Fuck, I forgot stuff in this movie. Gross puppets. Don't let your kids watch this.
All right, Jay, I think you've got a quick take too. What is your what does your Muppet mouth look like?
Well, I'm just a bald tan puppet, so like there's not a whole lot going on with the felt here.
you're the very generic Muppet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like when I design an avatar on the Wii, it just looks like the default character. So that's kind of my puppet just looks like a default puppet. But I do have the mouth of my puppet is greatly exaggerated. So as I'm talking, my mouth looks like it's going a lot faster than it really is. So for my quick take, it's like not that I didn't want to plan one. It's like I couldn't. Like my mind won't let me do it. I can say, folks, if this movie came out today, it would get barbecued by critics and like everybody. Like it is not a currently culturally responsible show. But also, I feel like it's kind of essential to see if you're into these kind of movies.
Where's the masked masochist?
Hudson, what about you? What does your puppet face look like and what's your quick take?
All right, well, I'm one of the full-size puppets, you know, that has an actual person inside it running around. And but I only have one working arm because my puppeteer's other arm has to work the mouth.
That's fair.
Yeah, and my quick take is, well, you know what? I just want to read it here because on here I have what the IMDb parental guide says about this movie for my quick take. So let me just bring that up real quick.
Did you use a puppet computer for that?
I just picture your hands jamming on the keyboard really fast.
Yeah.
But here's what the IMDb parental guide says. A rat tries to rape a poodle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Despite the cast being all puppets, the sexual actions are detailed very realistically. Mm-hmm. There is some sexual dialogue.
Some?
A hippo wears clothes that reveal cleavage.
Oh, and more.
And the rest of the breasts.
A rat character is a porn director. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A naked cow kills a cockroach by sitting on it.
Yep.
And a cat gives a blowjob to a walrus. The cat clings onto the walrus's much bigger lower body. No sex organs seen.
Well, not in that scene.
Wow, thanks, yeah. IMDb. That honestly is what the actual description of the film should be on, like the back of the VHS box. That should just be that.
And that reminds me, like, this movie, I've never for any other show on this podcast written crazier notes that's just what's happening on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just crazy.
All right, well, before we get too more far into the description, I just want to give a little background of the movie for the few of you who have never seen this before. So it's obviously a puppet movie made by Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame. It's his second movie ever, and he wrote it with Fran Walsh, who also co-wrote Lord of the Rings. But Stephen Sinclair and Denny Mulleron, I hope I'm saying that right.
Mulleron.
See you in hell.
Prepare to meet puppets. In hell.
That's how it goes. Oops.
I think this was done in, 1988, late 80s, somewhere in there. And it's pretty raw. It's pretty raw looking. But it is, whoo boy. Yeah. And it basically deals with it's a behind the scenes look at an up and coming puppet variety show.
It's kind of a soap opera. Like I feel like it's laid out. Like the storylines are very soap opera-ish. There's a lot of sex scandal. There's a lot of relationship scandal. There's a lot of cheating and blah, 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 back and forth. And there's like, I don't know, it's kind of, it's very soap opera-y.
Shit. I was just about to pop my cookies. Sorry, Hattie. I was just finishing off some paperwork.
Trevor's been insulting me.
Why, that foul-mouthed little rodent. I'll give him a good talking to.
That's a good observation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a few. I mean, it kind of follows a few different storylines. They don't really cross over that much.
Oh, it's a mess.
it's just a total mess. But somehow, I mean, I haven't seen this movie in like 25 years. And it was, I was going to say it was more watchable than I remembered.
It is watchable. It is watchable. Hey, who is, out of the different storylines and whatnot, just who was your guys' favorite puppets?
Oh, man.
Jeez. I liked Sid the Elephant a lot. He reminded me a lot. He looks like a Terry Gilliam Monty Python cartoon.
Does. Oh,
like,
God, he does.
The shading and everything of him looks like that. And I always liked that.
What's going on with the elephant?
Oh, his deal is that, yeah, everyone's got a deal. It's literally a soap opera. His deal,
yeah, it is.
He's part of the cast, and he has a ex-wife who's a chicken, and they have, no, he doesn't. Wait, his friend.
Yeah.
No, his friend has an ex-wife who's a chicken, but the elephant and the chicken slept together, an adulterous relationship, and had a baby out of wedlock. And so the baby is credited as an Ella chicken because it is half elephant, like a head elephant, and the body is a chicken.
Hey, but you cannot prove that baby is Sid's, besides the trunk of the giant elephant ears on a chicken's body.
Who's the chicken's wife or husband? Do you remember?
See, I thought it was the husband because I thought the elephant was talking about getting served with papers.
No. The one, they're in a room. The guy who, it's the frog or someone is in the room, and the chicken wheels the baby in, and she's like, take care of my baby. He's like, it's not mine, and blah, blah, blah. And we know it's not yours or whatever. And then Sid the elephant looks at him and goes, well, he has your eyes. And that's the joke, because then you look inside the basket, and it's got the fucking elephant head. And so that's when you know it.
Right. Is the frog the knife thrower, or is the knife thrower an alligator?
I couldn't tell. Yeah, I think I read he's a frog, but he looks kind of like a reptile.
Can I just say also for the listeners, if you want to play a fun game, just take this episode when you've listened to the whole thing, and then just go back and just put the cursor on a random point in the episode and just see what sentence we're saying. Because it's going to be like, is the frog a knife thrower, or is it an alligator? Like, it's just going to be weird sentences all show.
To be fair, not all the puppets were as good as the other puppets. And the version of the film that we watched was not super low quality, but it's very dark.
Yeah, it was dark.
And so it's kind of hard to distinguish stuff.
Honestly, I think it was filmed like that because the VHS copy that I watched years ago was really dark too. I don't think it was a problem with the
I think it's the transfer and the overall transfer. There's an HD version coming out.
PJ is restoring this, right?
Yeah,
I was gonna say he's,
yeah, there's an HD version I think coming out later 2019, so
I would be curious to see that.
Oh yeah,
can I say what my favorite Muppet was?
No.
One of my favorite Muppets.
Go for it.
Well, I'm going to anyway. I kind of liked the fly.
Oh god.
I just liked his voice. Like, it was so stupid. Like, this little fly is, he's like a little paparazzi.
If you ever want to earn a little extra on the side, I'm always interested in little stories. Anything spicy or even smutty.
God.
He wants to get stories and all the dirt on all of the Muppets that are in the show. So he's, like, blackmailing people if he has to. Like, any just seedy, terrible story he can get. And he goes up against, Harry the Rabbit.
Yeah.
Who's got a little problem.
A little problem.
And he's just taunting him. He's just terrible.
Yeah.
And he flies around in the toilet and he eats poop.
He eats a lot of poop. Hope it isn't yours, Harry.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's just like, yeah, Harry, I'm going to print the truth. He's just terrible. But I don't know. Oh, it's something about it I found really funny.
Oh, God. If you're queasy about seeing a spoonful of shit go into a puppet's mouth, avert your eyes for that scene. Because it happens a couple times.
But I think that's why this is a truly great movie because, well, no, it's like the two characters you mentioned as your favorite were my least favorite characters.
Really?
So there's something for everyone. I liked, I think he was a fox, the director of the show. I don't remember his name.
Oh, come on, I'm contorted. Somebody help him.
Oh, the gay fox?
Yeah, the gay fox. It was great. And his closing number in this movie is, it's really, it should be shown as, like, when you think of cinema, it's one of the crowning scenes, one of the crowning shots in cinema history. and the song is perfect.
Now seems like an appropriate time for you to put a clip in.
So odd of me, you must think it very odd of me, that I enjoy the act of sodomy. You might call the wrath of God on me, but if you tried it, then you might agree that you enjoy the act of sodomy.
So, what an amazing song. I mean, you're closing the whole movie about butt sex, sodomy.
Well, for context, that song comes in during the final performance. Like, the whole plot of the movie mm-hmm. is they're like, it's the day of a major performance that they're going to, like, live telecast. And so it's all coming up to that. Mm-hmm. So during the live performance, the performance is going poorly at some point, and he's like, I'm going to save the show. And then he gets out there and starts getting ready to do it, and the producer of the thing is like, no, he isn't. And then that song comes in.
Yeah, and the producer is the walrus. Yeah. He's a big walrus who's into drugs and all sorts of like other terrible things.
Not just into drugs. He is a drug dealer, and he is married to Heidi,
yes.
the hippo. Yeah. Heidi is the main star of the show. She's a giant. Yeah, they're just together. And Bletch, the walrus.
Bletch.
Great name.
It is.
Is cheating on Heidi with the cat, and you get lots of really great scenes with walrus banging cats and getting blowjobs from a cat and all kinds of great, great sexy stuff if you're into that. This is like a furry's dream.
Oh,
let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I wonder if that's a thing. Any furries out there, let us know.
But Bletch is also on the side working on drug trafficking. And so a major side plot of this mm-hmm. movie, especially near the end, is working on this big drug deal.
So much going on in this movie.
It's insane. And you can't say this movie is slow at all, because there's always something going on.
And it's usually depraved.
It's just the most fucked up stuff. Like Trevor, the rat. Yeah. I really enjoyed Trevor the rat. I mean, not for any good reason. I just kind of liked his voice.
Go on, Trevor! It'll be a pleasure, boss.
It turns out he's filming porn in the theater basement. Not just any type of porn, like really hardcore BDSM. Was it a cockroach? Like whipping a cow. Yeah. So cockroach cow sex. Oh.
Yeah, guys, this brings me to a new segment I'd like to introduce to B-Movie Mania.
Oh.
It's a little something called Kink Tank.
Kink Tank.
So I want to talk about the breast bondage / animal play / impact play that was going on during that scene. In the scene, we see a cockroach whipping a tied up cow who has a BDSM leather strapped outfit, which is clenching her udders.
It's cupping them.
So that they are bulging out. Bulging out. Which is a big part of breast bondage, which is the act of tying breasts so that they are either flattened against the chest or as they so they bulge. Which is, you know, for some people something they enjoy very much or they're into. Now, impact play, just so you know, is a part of sensation play, dealing with impacts such as whips, riding crops, paddles, floggers, etc. In this case it was a whip from a cockroach. Now, I don't quite know if this really applies to this because these are all puppets and animals, but animal play, just so we all know, is when the submissive partner acts or dresses up like an animal, like a puppy or a cow. So this may not technically count within the meta of this, but as you mentioned, the furry community might very much enjoy the scenes that involve things mm-hmm. like this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike. That was very informative.
And what was that called? What was that segment called?
Oh, that's Kink Tank.
King Tank.
Meow.
I really, really hope to hear more of that later on.
who's editing that soundbite together?
Oh, God. So, unfortunately, though, Trevor kind of has to think about making it a snuff film because the cow, Daisy, sits on the cockroach and kills it.
Okay, I had a question about this. So, in order to dispose of the cockroach's body, they take it to this pit in the basement, and there's like a monster down there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. There's some kind of thing. I thought we were going to see more of that later, but is that just
yes.
a monster?
I guess, unless they're saving it for the sequel.
I thought it looked similar to the whale near the end of the movie.
Yeah, you're right. It did look
like
a whale.
It did, but right? It's not nearly as big.
So yeah, no, they just throw it out into the a monster in a I don't know, this building makes no sense, but yeah, there's a pit in it.
Oh wait, it was a grasshopper, right? I think it was a grasshopper.
Was it? I have no idea. I couldn't tell what half the shit was.
I don't know. I have grasshopper in my notes. It's either some sort of grasshopper or
he's dead.
Roach.
But Jay, you mentioned that your favorite character was the fly, and the fly is most heavily involved with Harry the Hare. Do you want to talk about Harry a little bit and what his storyline is like?
Oh, yeah. Harry has quite a kinky lifestyle. And so he finds himself sick and is afraid something is wrong. So he calls the doctor to get him some tests, and things don't look good. And the fly is buzzing around and hears the story. And he plans to get the scoop of poop and write all about it in the newspaper. He typically hides out in his toilet.
It is seemingly a favorite place of his.
Oh, God. I like this because through the whole time he sees the doctor, just Dr. Quack.
There's only one disease that fits these symptoms. It's the big one, Harry.
No, no, not the big one.
I'll have to notify the health authorities. They want a list of your sexual partners.
The big one.
Oh, God. Oh boy, the big one.
And Harry gets very freaked out.
Yeah. He is he's got 10, maybe 12 hours to live.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, what didn't he say something like, oh, 10 or 12 years? Hours.
Hours.
And he just looks nastier and nastier as the movie goes on. Just scabs and pus and every. You know, Peter Jackson's early years were pretty disgusting, and this is total gross out stuff.
Yeah, at some point he's like popping sores so he can get out there for the big production. Oh. The sores are just squirting onto the mirror, and it's just vile.
It's pretty nasty.
How is a puppet so gross? It's
And all around the entire time, that stupid ass fly.
Hey, you feeling Harry?
Hi, Harry. Just doing a bit of that rash on your groin looks pretty ugly. Don't taste too good, neither.
Hey, Harry.
So we haven't mentioned kind of the main storyline, or one of the main ones that goes through this.
I was just going to bring up the audience identification character, Wobbert.
Wobbert, who... Well, I've got some opinions of Wobbert, because... He shows up and he is, like you said, the audience identification character. He's this timid little hedgehog and he's cute. He's got big eyes. He's one of the better looking puppets and he has a wisp and he calls himself Wobbert. And it's cute. He's a cute little guy and he's very shy and he's the fish out of water in this scene. Everyone else is gross and you know, just kind of just a gross dark group of people that he's fallen into because he's joining the chorus of the Feebles. He's the contrast for everyone else, along with his love interest, Lucille, who's a poodle, who's also new. So those are our two, like, innocents, effectively, our innocent characters, except we find out that Wobbert is a fucking, like, nice guys. Why can't he's like an incel, and it's fucking. At some point, he turns into this fucking, like, gross, like, because Lucille gets fucking Cosby Weinsteined at some point by the rat.
She does, by the rat who wants to use her for porn because the walrus told her so. Best sentence I've said all day.
Yeah, and then Wobbert walks in on it, and he's just like blames her and just fucking is just a real piece of shit to her. And at that point, I was just like, oh, fuck, I hate this character now.
Like, how could you do this?
Wobbert.
Lucille, how could you?
No, Wobbert, wait.
Oh, can I say something else about Wobbert, too? He gets assigned to work as the knife thrower. Wait, did we decide it was a turtle?
It's officially a frog. The credits say frog.
It is, okay, so he gets assigned to be the knife thrower frog's assistant, having the knives thrown at him because the knife thrower frog is a junkie because of he was a POW in mm-hmm. the prison camp.
I want to talk about that whole sequence in a few minutes. It deserves its own segment here.
It does. It's a whole thing. So yeah, that's just Robert is a little nervous because he has to be the pincushion for the knife throwing frogs. Knives.
Which should be known that the knife thrower killed his last assistant because he's got the shakes.
Right. He's trying to buy more heroin from Trevor the Rat the whole movie, but he needs $50.
I just want to bring up before we move on from this is the reason why Robert was assigned to the knife thrower is because he kept fucking up during the opera song.
Did he? No, he didn't.
Yeah. No, he moved his flag and he was supposed to hold still. While everyone was singing, and the director got mad at him because Robert couldn't figure out, like, what his motivation was. And the director's like, just stand there and hold the flag. And he wouldn't do it.
he knows all about 17th century Italian pennant bearers. And he just didn't understand why he would be patrolling like that.
Yeah, but Trevor the sleazy rat has had it out for him since the day one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just he showed up, the rat was a dick to him, he was watching, he was kind of fawning over Lucille the poodle out from the side of the stage, and the rat got mad at him. He just doesn't like him, so took the perfect opportunity to assign him to be dead next.
So now I would like to talk about the frog, the junkie frog, and he tries to scam Robert out of some cash so he can afford his fix. And he's just listing off a whole list of drugs, asking if Robert's got anything. I mean, including aspirin and Vicks vapor rub. And then gives Robert the life story about how he's been to Vietnam, the Tet Offensive. And it suddenly becomes a puppet war movie.
It becomes Puppet Deer Hunter.
Yeah, it totally does.
Well, or you might call it The Frogs of War.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that is what they called it when they filmed it, because they didn't have the budget and they had to secretly film that sequence.
Yeah.
That's and, right. Folks, if this doesn't sound offensive enough yet, if you were thinking, man, what this really needs is some racially insensitive puppets, this is your segment.
Okay, Jay, now hold on. The puppets, yes, they may have, I'm not even going to describe the characteristics in which they don't look okay, but surely they got someone who spoke Vietnamese to do all the dialogue for this scene. Surely they did.
Wrong.
Oh.
Listeners, you can't see his big puppet head, but Jay is shaking his head no.
No. No, they get just some, and I'm not going to impersonate what they do.
No. And Hudson is not going to put a clip in this either, because it's not okay.
It's not okay.
You haven't been to hell and back.
Been to Vietnam.
I saw the worst of it, kid.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Because especially because you can't really see the translation with the subtitles. Because you really, if you can't see the screen, you really miss a lot in the racist sounding dialogue of the puppets debating the merits of small scale capitalism at the village level in a socialist economic system. Moments before the movie turns into that last scene from Deer Hunter.
I think maybe a safe way to describe what they sound like is the Charlie Brown teacher wah-wah-wah stuff, but racially insensitive.
Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Without actually doing it, which we won't do, and putting a clip in, that's kind of how it sounds.
Just imagine the worst sounding... never mind, we're taking too much... We're giving this too much time. Please continue.
But okay, and so it becomes the Deer Hunter where... They play Russian roulette and everything, and there's an escape. It's a whole story.
I'm going to say, it looks really good. I mean, that the Deer Hunter stuff looks like
sure.
The Deer Hunter. It's great. They did a really good, did a really good job on that part.
He's got a bandana on his head.
Oh, man. Oh, so yes. It does manage to, the story manages to get $50 out of Robert so that... the frog can buy his smack.
He's like, any donations, please? And Wobbert gives him like a buck or something. And he looks at it and goes, $50 minimum donations. And Wobbert gives it to him.
Well, it's because earlier on, Trevor wasn't going to give the guy his fix because he's $50 short of what he owes him. So he's got to get that $50.
We haven't also talked about the other main character of the film. The heroine, if you will.
The drug as the character?
Yes. No, Heidi, the hippopotamus.
The hippo, of course, yes. The star of the show. The Miss Piggy of Feebles.
You want a piece of the pie, but you don't want to share with me. You want a piece of the pie, but you'll never get nothing for free. You better watch what you say, because it ain't my recipe.
I'd like to point out that Heidi is also one of the, I think, more sympathetic characters in it, because for the whole movie, she is just taken advantage of and, like, beaten down. And at no point does she really do anything wrong. She's desperate at times, but, like, she's not, like, a bad person. She's just craving attention, and everyone has decided that she's past her prime, and they hate her, and her boyfriend has moved on, and they fat shame her throughout the whole movie, and it's just, you know, it's just, she's like, the sympathetic character as well. Her and Lucille, I think, are the two, like, sympathetics.
For a while.
Well, I think what happens by the end that she does, it's fine. Everyone has what they get coming to them. Every single one of them.
Oh. That is true. That's true.
We'll debate that later.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to do the show because Bletch is cheating on her, because she full on catches that cat blowing Bletch under his desk. She's not going to do. She's done. She's done with the show. She doesn't care about the network deal. Nothing. But Bletch has to go do this drug deal with the whole golf thing. They set up the deal, but then when they get the drugs, it turns out it's borax.
Yeah, it kills the aardvark, the sleazy aardvark who ends up being like a porn star, who's always throughout the entire film is sniffing underwear every time you see him.
Well, what do you know? It's Dennis on a smelly minge binge.
Oh gosh. Just looking for the soap powder.
Sure, Dennis. Have a whiff of these. They've got a real distinctive bouquet.
Which is why he makes it in the movie. And how does that aardvark film shoot go, Mike?
Oh, well, it's time for Kink Tank.
Kink Tank.
Me now.
Well, see, yeah, because since the cockroach died, or grasshopper, whatever it is, they're no longer doing the whipping stuff anymore. They're doing what's known as nasal sex, which, as far as I can tell, and I am by no means a professional or a doctor, I couldn't find that on anything, including Pornhub. What they do end up doing is naming the film they're making Anal Antics, which has nothing really to do with what was going on in the scene, but I would like to point out that Anal Antics, if you search for that exact specific phrase in Pornhub.com, sponsor, maybe, future sponsor, if you look for that, you will get precisely 8 hits on the website, and one of them specifically is called Dungeon Furry's Foxtail Anal Antics, and I just think that might be useful for if there's any furries listening that have been enjoying this movie and the pornography involved. They might want to look that one up.
Yeah, and what happens with the aardvark and the cow?
He just nose jizzes all over her.
See, that's one of those sentences where if somebody's scrubbing through, I hope it lands on that one.
Yeah, but that aardvark, as you were saying with the drug scene, he comes into the room while they're testing the borax, and he's asked to test it, and his just nose just melts off in a very disgusting manner.
And he dies.
So Bletch is pissed, so he rounds up Trevor and his bulldog bodyguard, and they're going to go kick some ass down at the docks where the actual drugs are. I got to say, as they're on their way out, that's when Bletch finds out that Heidi is not going to do the show. So Bletch has to take a little...
take one for the team.
God.
He's like, hang on, I can't get the drugs yet. I gotta make sure, gotta make sure the show goes on. And he's just an ass and seduces her, and everyone's listening in as they're just going at it.
Like, I feel so bad for Heidi. Like, she obviously is just... She's just broken, and he just goes, oh, I want to have sex with you now. And so they do. And everyone, like I said, everyone's outside listening. But also, fuck all of them, too, because they know what's happening in there. And they're just waiting. And when he comes out and is like, the show will go on, they're just cheering and they're excited about it. Yay!
Somebody call the network. The show will go on.
No one feels like this is wrong.
No, not a single person has a conscience in this fucking movie. So they go to the drugs, and the drugs are on the wharf.
And I gotta say, on paper, crabs look like they make excellent guards for your drugs. On paper.
The crabs look pretty fucking good in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're big full body crabs standing up on like a Zoidberg would look, except for like they have hard shells and they look pretty good.
And so they're going to get the drugs from Mr. Big, I think they said his name was, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The whale is Mr. Big, right?
Correct.
That's actually the it's yep. not the warthog.
No, the warthog is named something else.
I enjoyed Mr. Big, and I enjoyed the giant spider that lands on the car. That was pretty cool.
What? Okay, what's up with the spider?
It's a giant spider.
No. Every fucking creature in this movie, size-wise, makes sense. Everyone is proportionally to the other. The rabbits are small, the hippo's big, the walrus is big, the elephant's big.
No, dude. The bulldog was a full-size human.
Okay, the bulldog was a little big, but the spider is the size of, like, two or three cars.
It's true.
And yeah, a spider normally, at its biggest, what, the biggest spider's span is what? Leg span's like 12 inches, maybe tops. Maybe more. I don't know. I'm not a spider doctor.
Mike, when you give a spider a regimen of drugs, consistently, it will become a gigantic kaiju spider.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and come on. With a name like Mr. Big, are you going to hire a small spider? Or are you going to hire a big spider?
You need a big spider.
That's a good point.
And it was cool.
But they do kill the spider, and they're driving off, but Mr. Big shows up. So, Jay, how do they escape from Mr. Big?
Well, sometimes the best defense is a best offense, and sometimes the best offense is driving your car through the whale. They drive their car into the whale's mouth and come out the back end.
Everything makes sense now.
And it takes a while. Like, they almost get lost inside the whale. I can't imagine what it was like building a set where you're like, all right, this is the guts of the whale that the characters are going to drive through. We have a walrus and a rat because the dog, the spider kills the bulldog and bites his head off.
Yeah.
So the walrus and the rat are fleeing in a stretch limo type car driving through a whale. That's what happens. And they said they had to build a set. That must have been really cool.
Though, to be honest, the set looked like they took a bunch of red sheets and draped them over the car.
Yeah, and just shook them.
But it told the story it was meant to be told.
You know, this kind of brings us up to the climax of the movie, where everyone has a happy ending. The show is a smashing success. They're picked up by the network, and they're given, like a five-year deal or something like that? I think that's how it goes. Happy ending for everyone.
I might have...
You disagree, Mike?
I might have seen a different movie than you, I think, actually.
All right, well, what happens, Mike? Tell us all about the show.
Well, I mean, they start the show, the final, the televised performance. And it starts out good. Things look great. Yeah, they are. Yeah, but even before the show ends, like, the network is real quick to pick it up because the show starts falling apart after that. Specifically after, at some point, Heidi does a great performance. I think she sings Garden of Love, one of her big hits, and goes back to Bletch's office to be like, let's get a quickie in. And then he is just real nice to her, right, guys?
Nope. He is finally done with her.
He shuts her down. Yeah. He has his show, and he doesn't need her anymore.
God. He just fucking rips her a new one.
He does. That's where she kind of starts to lose it, but that's really not what makes the show go off the rails.
No.
Harry the Rabbit, who at this point, his face just looks like a disgusting mess. He just wants to do the show before he dies.
He's got to go out on top. He wants his legacy left intact as he goes out.
Exactly. And so his whole thing is he comes out of a carrot. The carrot opens, and his nasty face comes out, and he starts puking all over the stage.
This is live television, folks. Live television.
Yeah. Everybody starts to panic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives the Fox director the idea to do his song about... just play the clip again, Chris. Just play play a second of that.
He wouldn't dare. Oh, Christ, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is, boss.
Sodom must
think it very odd of me that I enjoy the act of sodomy. You might call the wrath of God on me, but if you tried it, then you might all agree that you enjoy the act of sodomy.
Sodomy. Yeah, that's it. Oh, what a catchy tune. That's so good.
I love that song.
But meanwhile, Heidi finds a machine gun in Bletch's office.
Well, hold on. I think it's important to highlight all of Heidi's plight, because after Bletch fucking just tells her he doesn't need her anymore, she's through, she's finished, she'll never work in showbiz again, that whole speech, she tries to kill herself.
She's at a low point.
Yeah, she's at a low point, so she decides she's going to hang herself. But even God is body shaming her, because when she hangs herself, she just breaks through the floor and falls down to the next level.
Yes.
Where she finds a gun.
She finds, yeah, Bletch's stash of guns that he used to, you know, take to the drug deal.
Yeah. And she's gonna Full Metal Jacket at that point. Yep.
Set off by the cat.
Yeah, Samantha the cat comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, the cat says that she should kill herself, right? Yep.
And Heidi, now armed with a machine gun, ain't having none of it.
Mm-mm.
And she goes all Rambo on the cat.
Not just on the cat.
Yeah. I think it's about here where we find out that Harry was misdiagnosed.
Yes. He just has bunny pox.
Yeah.
Bunny pox.
He's not. He doesn't have the
I
big
mean,
one.
The big one and bunny pox are you often confused. So, you know, I'm really glad. I really rejoiced with Harry when I found out that he was going to live and he could be on the show right up until the moment Heidi just blows him away with the machine gun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This. So we're at the most controversial part of the film, yeah. I would argue.
Oh, God. And I love it because as Heidi goes on this rampage throughout the theater on live television, it's set to the tune of the Fox's sodomy song. Yeah. And it's really it's really beautiful. Just the,
it's quite a juxtaposition.
With a beautiful song mixed with the scenes of carnage and mayhem going on as Heidi just fucking tears up everyone.
It's just mega mass puppet shooting.
God, it is beautiful.
Blood and guts everywhere. All the characters, pretty much, almost all of them die.
There are a few survivors.
Including a worm that we have not mentioned at all in this entire episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other redeeming character. Arthur the Worm is a sweetheart and very nice, and all he's trying to do is help people. Yep. That's all he does. At no point is he a bad boy.
Never.
He's the stage manager.
And he survives. He makes it. He makes it through.
Yeah.
Along with Robert and Lucille, who have since made up because Robert realized the error of his ways.
Right. And then, you know, he realizes that nothing was wrong anyway. And she, you know, the poodle really didn't do anything with the rat.
Yeah. He really pulled like a fucking incel's dream of knight in shining armor coming in and saving the damsel in distress, even though he was a piece of shit to her before. It's so infuriating. That fucking whole, I mean, there's some more disturbing things in this film than that, but that really just kind of got my goat.
Well, and to back up a bit before Trevor, the rat dies, he and Bletch catch the fly, make a couple journalism puns while tearing off the wings.
Well, what do you know, boss? A left-wing reporter.
We can't have a biased press, can we, Trevor?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. That's cruel. Yeah, they just tear the wings off the fly and flush them.
And then they go outside, and Trevor is blown away also.
Yes. That's the, like, tense scene of Trevor is gonna, what is he? Does he have a gun, too?
He's gonna kill Heidi, I think.
Yeah, because Heidi shoots Bletch, he falls from the balcony, but then he like tries to make up he's playing with her again, and then Trevor comes out and like attacks, and then Bletch is like, kill her, like just fuck, ugh.
Yeah, and Robert swings down and hits Trevor, and
that's right.
Then Heidi ends up shooting Trevor and then killing Bletch for good, I believe.
Yeah.
Happy ending, and even, I mean, Sid the elephant, I mean, the chicken is a casualty of this whole murderous spree. But Sid, I mean, at great cost to himself, he is shot to hell, but he saves his son.
Yeah, and he survives.
It's true.
As we find out, because one thing that's really good is they don't leave anything open-ended here. They show us after the movie, before the credits roll, we find out what happens to each of the surviving characters after the Meet the Feebles massacre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we learn that Heidi, I gotta say, life is fucking cheap in the Feebles universe, because she only gets 10 years in jail.
That's maybe the puppet court needs an overhaul, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they do. Maybe. And, you know, Robert and Lucille live happily ever after, and Sid, the elephant with his son, is fine. Even the fox goes on to write a book about the whole experience with the movie deal and everything. I just hope that he's able to work his sodomy song into any sort of movie that's made.
You know it was.
And Arthur the Worm. Arthur the Worm also lives.
And Arthur the Worm.
Oh, yeah. He got a reward for his service in the arts and, you know, retired and lived happily ever after.
So, yeah, if it sounds a bit like this review, this discussion was a little all over the place, the movie itself is a little all over the place. So the only way to really get the most out of this is you've got to watch it, which brings me to
rating time.
All right. Well, you know, I was thinking about rating scales, and we totally forgot to I was going to pick one that totally worked with the scene where Heidi is trying to get back with Bletch before he dumps her, and you get the full topless Heidi, like full on hippo tits. And I was gonna go with that for the rating.
Hippo tits.
But all right, it sounds like we're maybe I should go with my instincts, and we're gonna rate this from 1 to 100 hippo tits.
All right,
Jay. Why don't you go first?
Oh, I don't want to go first. I don't know. I don't know. It is completely insane, this movie. I can say I have never seen anything like it, and there's value there for that. I do feel it is, you know, for B-movie fans, it's kind of essential, you know, just for the shock and awe of it. There is a mass shooting, and I wasn't sure how to feel about that, but as Mike pointed out, they're all pretty disgusting characters that get killed, I guess. Maybe that makes it not better. I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching it just because it was so weird. 88. I'm going 88.
All right. Wow. Nice. Nice. All right. Mike, how many hippo tits are you going to give this fine film?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, we all know it's going to be more than two because each hippo tit is huge. So I got to do the calculations in my brain for that. But in general, like Jay said, it is kind of, if you're into this kind of shit, man, like, it's kind of essential. I mean, it's interesting to see where Peter Jackson came from, because this thing's a fucking doozy. But as frantic and fast-paced as this movie kind of is, I couldn't help but find myself a bit bored throughout it. There is a lot of weird shit that goes on and a lot of just, I don't know, stuff, but I was a little bored throughout it, and I've seen it a few times in the past, and I watched it twice for this fucking recording. So, you know. Yeah, anyway, I think people should watch it. I think I'm going to be a little more conservative with my number of hippo tits, though. I mean, there is a lot of sex in this movie, so I'm going to give it a good, solid 69.
Ooh. Nice. No, I agree with everything Jay said, Mike. I'll disagree. It wasn't slow for me. I've seen this a couple times in the past also. I mean, it's been 20 years. I remember it being just, I mean, it is so bizarre and weird, but I remember it being not as good as I thought it was this time around. I was into it this time. There's no real redeeming value to this movie. It's just insanity from start to finish. And it's really cool to see where Peter Jackson started. And you can see, like, I mean, this is where he, Richard Taylor, I think is his name. He worked with him on Lord of the Rings. You see, like, the craftsmanship and the relationships he started making in his films starting from here that would carry on to the Lord of the Rings. And I really like seeing it from a historical point of view. But also, it was just, for me, it was a lot more fun than I remembered. So, way more watchable, and I was into it the entire time. So, I'm going to go a little closer to Jay's and go 86. hippo tits.
Man, I did not expect to be the highest on that. Can I also, can I say too, like, I think this movie more than anyone we've ever watched, like, the needle for me, for the rating from like 1 to 100, mm-hmm. as I think about it, it varied more. Like, usually with most of the movies we watch, I'm like, okay, I figured out kind of like where I am. With this one, like, even though I said it, 88, like, I'm still like, well, but I don't know. Like, there's, like, on another day, I might have it a lot lower. It's just weird. It's so yeah. weird. And it's not, and I think also maybe it helped because this is the first time I'd seen yeah. it, mm-hmm. you know, that I wasn't bored as much. but yeah, it's just, I'm all over the place with this.
Yeah.
I'm scattered like a group of depraved puppets.
Yeah.
That's a wrap for this one. I mean, we can play sodomy one more time, maybe.
Sodomy.
It might just improve your sex at the hard act of follow. But fundamentalists find difficult to swallow. So join me as I sing of an activity that's fun. Open up your ring and try it from to bum 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 bum. Sodomy, you must think it very odd of me that I enjoy the act of sodomy. You might call that a thought god on me, but if you try to, then you might on me that you enjoy the act of sodomy.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Well, boys, let me tell you. Do you guys remember the year 1995?
No.
I do.
Do you remember maybe a super awesome action hero named Don the Dragon Wilson?
I do.
Yes.
Well, buckle up, buckaroos, because here's a 90-minute film where a scientist brings virtual reality characters to life. Two are women from a cybersex game site. The third is a warrior with plans to unleash the rest of the bad guys from the virtual reality underworld. Dom the Dragon Wilson must defeat the impending threat while learning to interface with one of the cybersex babes. It's wow. virtual combat. It's on Amazon Prime. And we're fucking watching this motherfucker.
Sweet.
Oh my god. I'm looking forward to this one.
Dude, that plot outline sounds like the outline of Caprica.
If all three of us don't give this movie 69s across the board, I don't know what we're doing.
Awesome.
Well, let's hope it stands up like Hologram Man. Similar plot, I'm hoping. But hope so. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Awesome. Well, all right. Well, there we go. First episode of season 3, down the hatch.
Down the whale mouth. Mr. Big.
Oh, I love we didn't even really get into all the sexual innuendo and just stupid things characters
say. It's constant.
It's nonstop. So, yeah. We'll save those for the listeners to experience on their own. But I hope everyone had a good time listening this time. Mike, do we still have t-shirts for sale?
Let me check. Type. Yes, we do. We have lots of shirts. We got cool logos. We got cool cartoons by Johnny K. The artist did that. And we also have sweaters. You can get two different, similar but different designs. You can get on our site at store.bmoviemania.com.
I see you're wearing a puppet-sized sweater right now. Looks nice.
Yeah, it's perfect. We have all sizes, even puppet-sized.
And Jay, is there any place people can do to maybe give us a sort of review?
Everywhere. You can go to your favorite podcasting service, the one you're probably listening to right now if you're hearing us, and, you know, give us a good rating, give us comments. We really appreciate it. It helps us out, helps us get noticed by more people, so they say. That's the legend. So we would really appreciate a good review and some nice comments. Reach out to us.
Mm-hmm. Hudson, what do people need to do if they want to, like, follow along, if they, for some reason, aren't following us elsewhere?
They can follow us on Twitter at B-Movie Mania.
No.
BMM Podcast.
No. BMN Podcast. I don't know this. I don't run this.
It's a simple mistake.
BMN Podcast. We're on Instagram also at
B-Movie Mania.
B-Movie, there we go. Yes. Twitter and Instagram, I get those confused all the time. We have a Facebook page. You should like us. Search for B-Movie Mania.
YouTube's good, too. We got a YouTube stuff.
We do. You can check out a bunch of stuff on YouTube we're going to start uploading.
Right.
We're expanding.
Check it out, everyone.
One thing I wanted to mention, we didn't get to talk about one of my favorite songs from the movie, so I was hoping that could play us out.
The one leg one?
Yes. I got one leg missing.
One leg missing. All right, well, here we go. One leg right. missing.
Playing See you next time, out. Everybody.
Goodbye.
Pretty little sand hopper basking in the sun. A dancing and a hopping, having lots of fun. A bit of sand landed in that hopper's eye. And the little sand hopper said, my, oh my, I got one leg missing. I got one leg missing.
I got one leg missing.
How do I get around? Shiny, shiny, fishy in the ocean blue. I swam into a sewage pipe, poo, poo, poo. Said I'm in the shit, I better take a dive. Stuck his head out the water and began to dive. I got one leg missing. One leg missing. I got one leg missing. How do I get around? All right.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They're touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
I made a split and her seat was two. They both began to chorus that went woo woo woo. I got one leg missing. One leg missing. I got one leg missing.
Which is clenching her udders, bulging out, bulging out.